Amen. One more time. Let's really welcome him tonight. Hallelujah. Let his great Holy Spirit just sweep over us now. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Blessed be your wonderful name. Oh, Almighty God, Father, we deem it a blessed privilege to have you in our midst tonight. Knowing that you have come, dear God, in accordance with your promise, where two or three is gathered together in your name, dear, you are in the midst. God, as we recognize your presence, as we recognize that you are true to your promise, as we confess, Lord, by the faith that you have given unto us, you are here. Father, we welcome you tonight. We open our hearts before you, Lord. We come confessing our sins and our shortcomings. Lord, we come expressing our faith in the bleach of the blood of Jesus Christ. Praying, dear God, that blood will be applied to every confessing in here tonight. And that the great Holy Spirit that is here present amongst us, Lord, we'll be able to move in such a wonderful way tonight, in a way that every heart and life could be so inspired. Lord, the faith of your people could be so charged. Every heart could be blessed, dear God. Father, you could do the exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. Almighty God, may you just have your way amongst us tonight. We pray, dear God, you would speak to us, you'd make your word real. And I pray if there be any sick or afflicted amongst us, God, your grace would be extended. And Lord, you would bring deliverance to every needy soul. Oh, gracious God, have your way amongst us tonight. We certainly appreciate, Lord, each and every one that has come within our gates, them that are brave, the weather to come out into the house of God. Father, knowing, dear God, that when you come amongst us, something good always happens. And we pray, dear God, that when we leave this place tonight, every heart will be lifted up, encouraged. Oh, God, that you will just move amongst us, Lord. And if there be one that don't know you, Almighty God, your Holy Spirit will just move upon them, Lord, and do something special for them. God, we who have passed from death unto life, how we are so thankful for that day. Lord God, when you revealed this great plan of salvation to us, when that faith fell into our hearts, that we could receive what you've already done for us in Calvary. May, oh God, you bring that one, there be one, who have not yet come to receive you as Lord and Savior, that tonight could be that night, Father. Realizing, oh God, that great propitiation that was made for us, that stood there down through these seven church ages, millions have come. But as the song said, there's still room for one tonight. And let your word go forth. He said, my sheep will hear my voice. Oh God, let your voice be so distinct tonight. And may you call your sheep by the name. Granted, Lord, we commit this service into your hands. We just pray for divine leadership and direction in all that we say and do, and may it bring glory to your name and assistance to your people. Father, we thank you in advance for it, for we pray and believe in Jesus' wonderful and precious name. Amen and amen. Amen. Listen to our Bibles tonight. We'd like to invite your attention to 1 John. We'd like to read from here, chapter 2. I want to welcome everyone in this house. May God richly bless you. All the strangers and the visitors are within our gates. John chapter 2, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. You feel strong tonight? And the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust of it, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, by which we know that it is the last time. They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. But you have an unction, an anointing, from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, because the Father and the Son is the same. You cannot have the Father without having the Son. He that confesseth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he had promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. See, seducing spirits. But the anointing which you have received, the same unction, that anointing, of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming or his parousia. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. All these antichrist spirits. By this know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And just a little portion again in 1 John 5. Verse 1, or 4 rather. For whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And one last scripture while you have your Bibles close to you. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we so appreciate your goodness, Father. How in these last days you've come, as you said you would. And you've taken the seals off of the book. And you've revealed the hidden things of God that were sealed up in the Word. That the truth could be restored back in its entirety. That the whole secret of God could be made known for the rapturing of the church. You said in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin the song, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. Father, I pray tonight as we would look, Lord, into your word and see what is promised for this hour. And see what the Holy Spirit has done and is doing. I pray to bring enlightenment to our hearts. It would cause us to understand the day that we are living in. It would show us how to prepare for great translation faith. It would cause our senses to be exercised. We might be able to discern good and evil. Oh God, in these last days, when it's so deceiving, Lord, dear God, we will receive more and more of that anointing that would teach us, Lord. Oh God, may you grant it tonight as we wait upon thee. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a seat. Amen. We want to welcome everyone again in this house tonight, and we certainly would just like to get settled in by God's grace. I've been speaking a little series here since about a month and a half, and the last 6 weeks or so, and we are just trying to keep our attention focused, because as you go back and forth, it helps us to really grasp what the Holy Spirit is trying to bring to us. And some of you, I know, you know, you begin to see things, and then you can pick up the trend, you know, just how to study and what books to read in line with what the Holy Spirit is doing. And the Spirit can enlighten you while you're at home, and teach your foot on these truths, and then some of you again, I know back and forth after you keep hearing it, different ways, expressed different ways, it begin to make sense to you, and it sort of help you grasp what is really being communicated. And we'd always get it the first time we hear it, and you know, we sometimes could just contain so much of it, and sometimes it takes a little while, it takes prayer, it takes your heart being right before God, that you can even open His Word to you, because the Word of God is a very sacred thing. The prophet said this was that third pearl that was so sacred, it was the opening of the Word to reveal the hidden truth that was sealed in the Word. And we know that when these things begin to come forth, He said, this is the thing that I have to stay consecrated before God to see which one of these mysteries He was going to open up. And He has been, you know, had to wait there and open up the Word. And then even when the Word was given, you know, many of us, we still couldn't grasp all of it. We couldn't see all of it at one time. Now it's about 27 years after, and we are now seeing clear, some of us, and some of us still desiring to see clearer, because God could only reveal His Word to us in our season. Amen? And we see even the Bible that Jesus, when He came and He opened the Scriptures to them, then they still didn't get it. The Bible said He came back and opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. So sometimes, you know, something begins to be opened up to you and your understanding isn't open, and then after they hear the message for 3 years since the seals open, He says you're now beginning to hear it intellectually. But we have to wait in His presence, let it tend up in our hearts, bay down and get sweet in the Spirit before it can become a real revelation. And I trust that, you know, that, you know, you who have an experience with the Lord and His Holy Spirit is in your life, and you know, you just love the Word, and you love to feed on the Word, and you know the importance of staying in His presence and staying under the Word, that in this hour especially, it caused you to really dig down, because that is where He is being revealed to you, is in His Word. And so many times, you know, we fail to realize that, you know, we need revelation, because as Brother Abraham says, we can never overemphasize the importance of divine revelation. We need to get into the spirit of revelation and let God open up these things. Because, you know, since I started about 6 weeks ago, and I started with the course which sin takes, and begin to take that, and then we from there begin to go into the tree of life, and then the tree in the midst of the garden, and you know, take, eat, and live forever, and the serpent beguile Eve, and even Sunday the tree is known by its fruit, and all these different messages is just basically one thing that we are looking at. But as we take it and we go through the Bible, we begin to see the privilege that we have. Now, it brings it out in many different ways in the Bible, but in this particular instance, it causes us to see the reality of the Word. And, you know, last couple of weeks, I wanted to try to emphasize to you that Satan was actually doing something definite. You know, many times, as I say, we have our concept as to what the devil is doing. And you know, sometimes somebody says, boy, the devil give me a hard time, and that might be true. And then, you know, somebody says, you know, I tell you, you know, the devil, you know, really raging the home, and he's tearing up the home, or he's doing this and he's doing the other. But that isn't just the real objective of the devil. Because we find out that the devil has a far greater plan than that. It's the same like somebody would be saying, you know, boy, God is really working in my life, you know, I really, you know, realize I'm the neighbor, you know, we couldn't get along, and you know, God gave me a chance to talk to the neighbor today, so I'm the neighbor is getting a little closer now. And you know, I find I wasn't able to read the Word last week, you know, last 2 weeks I couldn't get a breakthrough to prayer, and I begin to read the Word a little more now, and that is good, that is an improvement, that is a breakthrough. But God don't just want you to get to read the Word or talk with the neighbor, God wants to bring you back to perfection. That the real purpose that God have in this day. So you know, sometimes we kind of get out of focus and we fail to see the real objective that God is working towards. And we kind of see the little areas where we get the improvement in our life and little area where we get blessed and little area where we get a little free time. And we kind of keep focus right there. So our aspirations don't go beyond that. You know, we kind of, when we get that done, we say, praise God, we kind of feel a little relaxed. We get a breakthrough. And, you know, we say, like, you know, I was so tied on at home. I wasn't visiting anybody for the last 6 months, but now I'm able to visit a few people. I tell you, I really begin to work for the Lord now. And you know, sometimes these things, it sort of is good because we all have our individual places in the body. And God uses us in our different ways that he can use us to do different things. But I want that the church here can see that, you know, we as a body of believers, as I was emphasizing last week, I want you to see that we are following a message. And when we gather here, we are gathering here by a divine promise. We're not gathering because Wednesday night is service. We're gathering because the scripture says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, much more you see the day approaching. And where two or three is gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. And we begin to realize that that is the plan of God for us to come together. Because when we gather us together, when he can draw the believers together, then he can make known his will and purpose for us as the people who he has called out in these last days and is preparing for his coming. Yeah. Amen. And, you know, if we could stay there, you're going to find we are able to maintain our atmosphere in a far greater way. Because we fail to stay in that kind of channel, we kind of come to service. And then we figure, boy, I went to service last week and I was so tired today and, you know, I didn't want to come, but I end up, they forced me to come or end up coming and I sit down there tonight, boy, and my mind's so tired and I think I have this to do tomorrow, and you'll kind of go through that. But when you realize then that since God has called you in this hour, since God has begun to deal with you in this day and let you see that there's a definite promise in this day, that God is beginning to awaken you to something he's doing in this hour, that whether you live or die, that is going to happen. Whether you backslide or whether you're on fire for God, that is not going to be hindered by the grace of God. That's God's word I've spoken. And if you have the benefit and you have to have the victory in your life, it's going to depend on how much you are aware of what God is doing and being able by divine revelation to make yourself available to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Is that right? Amen. So that's why the believer in this hour, they have to be persistent. That's why when God comes and give you a revelation, so you can be persistent. You know what God's will is. Like Noah, when God revealed to Noah that the rain was going to fall and that God is going to destroy the world, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Now, God didn't tell him, you know, Noah, you know, the scoffer's going to come, mocker's going to come, they're going to hinder you, Noah, you're going to go through a hard time, you might be able to find all the materials right away, you know, people are going to criticize you, science going to confuse the people. God didn't tell Noah all that. God had to convince Noah that God was speaking to him, and that was the word for that day. When that was revealed and inspired to Noah, and that became real to him, and he saw the reasons. He saw why judgment really had to strike. In other words, when God tells Noah judgment is going to come, he didn't say, yeah, judgment is going to come, God is going to judge the world. No. He saw that what the world had come to. He saw what was happening in the earth. And he saw that a just God had to destroy that thing because the people had gone completely away from God and was in total rebellion to the word of God. That's why God said the end of all flesh has come. And as long as that was revealed and inspired to him, he became persistent. He was so convinced that he didn't care if he was tired, he had to finish building the ark. He didn't care if he didn't feel like preaching, he had to preach because judgment was coming. Do you understand that? Even when the mockers and scoffers come, he can say, I alone, everybody against me. You say, I don't know, but just stand with me, discouraged. He had to stand there and be persistent because he saw, even though the world didn't believe it, look at the grace of God towards me, I could see it. Amen. Amen. And that is what drives a believer. Amen. So you don't care whether it's Wednesday night and half of the church are here. You don't care whether you had a hard day today. You better you get yourself in the channel where you realize God has spoken and put a revelation in your heart. Amen. And because you have a revelation, you can be perseverant. No, God didn't have to come every 6 months and tell Noah, you ought to build an ark, you know. Noah knew the will of, the revealed will of God for his life from the moment the revelation struck. He saw where he fitted in the plan of God for his age. He saw that judgment was coming and God had provided a way of escape for those who was willing to believe God and take sides with God. And that is what is coming to you. What do you think keep you persistent? What do you think that when the pressures come? Because not every day I feel to be on the mountaintop, you know. Not every day I feel on fire for God. Not every day I feel the strength in me to stand. You don't feel it every day. But when you don't feel it, that don't mean to say, well, because I feel it, well, I'm going to go along with the crowd. No! You're getting your revelation. You remind yourself what the word of God says. You shake yourself and you pinch your conscience. Amen. You speak to your own self and say, rise and shine, boy. You've got no time to slack your riding. Amen. That is what a believer does. That's what a believer does. That's where a believer lives. Amen. That's the stand a believer takes. See? Why? It's revealed to you. And not just a revelation in thoughts. When God comes down and begins to reveal his thoughts and make it plain, he begins to show you the evidence of it. Look Israel in the homeland. Look the church in Laodicea. Look the world in Sodom. Look at the World Council of Churches getting together. Look, a vindicated prophet opening the seven seals. You begin to see the fulfillment of the word to know his truth. Amen. Amen. And when you see that the word is truth, you see the time you're living in. Amen. And then you can look out there and see that hour has come upon us. And then you can see when that iniquity begins to abound, the love of many will wax cold. And because the love begins to wax cold, there's no desperation because of the lack of love. There's no real love for God. People become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness. They don't mind going to church. But they're in church, but they can't pull. They're in church, but they can't press. They're in church, but they can't get in the spirit. Amen. And then you get to realize it's not just being in church. Amen. It's believers. But who come in with a lick of fire. Coming and taking the stand. Believers knowing the hour. Believers coming to anoint the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Believers following the line of the word and the line of the spirit. Glory. And you following those things. Why? Because being revealed to you, that's why when you come, one is a testimony, one of a praise. Why? When they stand in the workplace, when they walk in the street outside there, when they face the pressures, it confirms them over and over. The word is really the truth. Yeah. Hallelujah. They see it every day. The confirmation of the word coming to pass. Let me tell you, if you could walk in this world in this hour, and say, well, it looks like the Lord coming just now. You have to be stone crazy. If you can walk in this world in this hour, see, and say, well, maybe I don't feel, you know, It's really late. I feel all this preaching is over exaggeration. Let me tell you, you are blind, dumb, deaf, and dotish. So, because here you are seeing how much of the word is coming to pass. That when the Holy Spirit come and take the scripture and uncover to you and show you the complete perversion that we are in this day, right up to the very moment. Amen. It shows them how for 6,000 years, let me tell you, those things were not being taught in a denomination. The world don't know those things because they've been smitten blind. But through the opening of the seven seals by a vindicated prophet, God shows the hour we have come to. Amen. And when you look and you see the scripture being fulfilled, it brings faith. I mean, there's no way you can see the word prophesied coming to pass before your eyes, identified by the Holy Spirit, confirmed by the word, and then it don't bring faith. It's impossible. Because that is what brings faith. And God does it that way to give faith. Amen. Amen. Glory. But the thing is, now that don't challenge us so much. That just tells us it's late. What challenges us is when we see in this hour where the church, the real elect, ought to be. That challenges us. Amen. That doesn't tell us the hour is late. When you see a son of God and a daughter of God, must be the living word in this hour. When you see men and women coming back into the image of Jesus Christ. When you see the church coming back to the original glory, back at Pentecost. When you see men and women becoming a prisoner to the word, then they know nothing else but this word. That challenges you as a believer. Then you just can't say, I belong to a church, or I go to church, or I've been baptized. You want to see the word of God being interpreted in your life every day. Amen. That challenges you as a believer. Because then now it makes you consider, what have I based my claims on? I have made a claim. I'm a believer. But what have I based it on? A feeling, an experience, or a revelation of the word? Amen. Brother, when it is presented to us and we see, because we can see the other church, the worldly church, blind, wretched, naked, miserable, and don't even know it. We can see Satan's Eden. We can see Satan, Adam, and Satan, Eve. We can see them eating off of that corrupt tree, and they're dying. See, but then when we come here to the true bride, who is coming back to the true tree, amen, who could take that word and eat it, and who is bringing forth their life to show that they are living forever. To show that by eating from that tree, it is bringing forth eternal life. You know what I'm saying? When you eat from that tree, not just you'll live like them. There is no prevailing power as the revelation of the word. By eating on that word, you become the living word made manifest and can do the greater works, he says. He said, we don't need a new Bible, a new translation. We just need a fresh revelation by which we can become the living word manifesting. Amen. Look at John back there telling them in that first verse. He said, you have overcome them. They didn't die and go to heaven to say they overcome them. Amen. He said, you have overcome them. He said, you know the spirit. He said, I write this not because you don't know the truth, because you know the truth. He said, you know him that was from the beginning. Hallelujah. Oh, that I can preach that in this church. Amen. Hallelujah. To say, you know him that was from the beginning, young man. The fathers, you know him that was from the beginning. He said, young man, you have overcome them things. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. Amen. Glory. They had overcome. Amen. I'm taking aside, overcome and eat of the tree of life. To him that overcometh, he will grant to eat. And John told him, you have overcome them. All them antichrist spirits, them false prophets in the world. He said, don't trouble you no more at all. Amen. You know them. Amen. He said, hereby you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Why? Because you have an anointing. Amen. Amen. Something has run you back to the tree of life. You have an anointing upon you to push you back. A cherub had been revealed in that age to anoint them, to send them back. And what was eaten from that word and becoming flesh in them. He said, there is a victory that overcometh the world. Your faith. Even your faith. My. They had overcome. And they had received that eternal life. I took it for the other night. And page 38, page 19 and page 38 of True Easter Seal. He says, since the Garden of Eden, God had put a cherubim with a flaming sword to guard that tree of life in the garden that man could not take. He said, but at Calvary, see, then at Calvary and Pentecost, yeah, when he came and he died, and then the Holy Spirit was sent back, he says, God opened the seal to the tree of life. Now man can come back to partake of eternal life. Amen. They were partaking that hour in a way that they couldn't partake before. Amen. They wasn't afraid of death. Glory. Paul and him stood there and could look at death and say, oh, death, where's your sting? They shook that. You shook that viper in the fire. Amen. He could look at a man and say, I perceive you have faith to be healed. Rise to your feet. Amen. They had come to such a place where people saw that tree of life blooming in Peter. They went right there and stood up in the shadows. Amen. In the man's very shadow. But the woman was still trying to press you to touch Jesus. See? But there's been multitude just in Peter's shadow. Was Peter greater than Jesus? No! It was the same tree! Sometimes we underestimate what was happening there. Sometimes we fail to comprehend what that was. Peter wasn't just walking around with a spokesman and say, I believe the Son of Man and Elijah come. No, no, sir. Look what the man was. Look how trained the man was when he went up to Dorcas' house. And all them sisters crying and bringing the clothes. But he had enough of it. He said, okay, sisters, God bless you all. You know, yeah, she's a nice seam. She's a nice, so just go outside, please. Give me the time here. See? Because they're just fussing and crying and everything else. And he just went, he just pulled the door because you remember what happened in Jairus' house. Jesus personally took him in Jairus' house to show him how it is done. Because you know when that time comes, he will know to handle it. Glory! He was training them with the word. Oh, they didn't say, you think they get carried away and say, oh boy, he liked me more than the rest. You know, so he can't give me a special time where I get a chance to be around the minister. No, 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 no. They're being trained. Hallelujah. They was right there where the mystery was being unfolded, where the original life was on display, where specific experiences were being given to them. Glory. Amen. So look. And in that first church, you watch and see how those men walk and they live. Why? It was what they was eating. It is the word, friend. You see, some people underestimate the word. They underestimate what the real word does to a believer. They think it's education and learning things. But they fail to realize the reality of sitting under the real, anointed, inspired, revealed word coming forth in its season. What that does for a believer. That is taking you to a new body. Amen. It's not until the seven seals open.
Then you begin to see the anointing that was upon those people. Look at that first age little girl around there. She said, somebody's at the door. She says, you look like Peter Angel. Well, it wasn't revealed that Peter was released from prison by the Lord. So she knew Peter was in prison. But she saw Peter. But if Peter was in prison and I see a Peter, who I sure is Peter, then the last time he was here, he's preaching about Theophany, so it must be Peter Theophany. She says Peter Angel or Peter Theophany. Little girl washing dishes in the back of the house. Slip out there, run out there, peep through the little hole and say, run, she didn't open the door, she just peep through the hole, run back and says, it's Peter Angel. Because why? Mary had seen an angel. Cornelius had seen an angel. Doom by the tomb had seen an angel. They were looking at people flying over the wings somewhere in the sky. They were looking for a little fairy tale. They were looking at an atmosphere because they was in the same realm when the Elisha prayed and God opened the boy's eyes to know there are hundreds and thousands of angels all around us. When the Lord opened the boy's eyes, let me tell you, them scriptures was anointed to them. There was no sad, you see, who didn't believe in angels. Amen. They believe in the supernatural. They live in a supernatural atmosphere. They didn't feel like angels come to a prophet alone. Amen. You see, our unbelief put these things far with us. Our concept living with the prophet alone. Our speculation coming, somebody else talk about it. But we're looking at the Bible and get our thinking filtered. Amen. Amen. We realize, brother, it's what atmosphere you live in. Now, John is saying here, he says, in first John, I didn't read it. I took from where he was telling them they had overcome. And then he tell them what? How they overcome? He said, even by your faith. This is how you overcome. See? And then I give you the promise in the first age. Which was, he says, if you overcome, you eat of that tree. But that tree was being revealed to them. That's what they was eating on. That's why there's overcoming. Because that's why he could say, you have known him who was from the beginning. This is the word. Tell me in your Bible. Some of you watching me like if you know you are talking. Oh, it's hard for me to preach when I say people pour on that steer and they don't know what I'm talking about. First John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. That's a tree, brother. The word of life. So we have seen it. That was from the beginning. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. We've been taking it back and forth. I won't go to Genesis to read it. But in Genesis, eternal life was in a tree. And that tree was a person. And that person was the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he came on the earth in John 6, he preached that he was that tree. He said, I'm the bread of life come from him. If a man eat of me, he will live forever. And John was right there. Because Lord on, he come and says, John 6:63, the word I speak is Peter lies. And then he says, and, you know, he says, I've chosen 12, and one is the devil. And then he said, will you go also? And Peter said, to whom shall you go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. All right? So John who's writing that all of them was the air. And the word he was speaking them was life. Amen. That was the fruit. He was bearing the fruit. The fruit is what? The teaching. We took it Sunday morning. Jesus likened prophets to trees. And the fruit of the teaching. And he says, be careful when you eat the fruit of that corrupt tree. But we found out he was the good tree. And a good tree was bringing forth the good fruit. Amen. And what was the good fruit? The word for that age, revealing the plans to them how to come into real life. Amen. See, when we talk about a tree, you see a person. When we say fruit, you see the word. When we say life, you don't think about it, just your breathing and your burden in the grave. Think about the eternal life that operate the word and make the word manifest. Amen. Amen. Otherwise, you stand here and just get agriculture in your mind. That which we have seen and heard, verse 4, declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which you have heard of Him. Do you think we have heard another message? I challenge somebody to tell me we have heard another message. It's the same message. And declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And we say, if we say you have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Okay, well, he goes on to talk about cleansing from sin and so on. But here, when he's telling them, you have known Him, that is from the beginning. He had already introduced in the first chapter who he was speaking of. The Word that was made flesh and dwelt amongst them. And the Romans had cut down that tree and they nailed it on a Roman tree. Is that right? Yeah. But in 3 days, God restored that tree and restored that tree right in the midst of them again. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. And that tree was bringing forth the perfect word fruit. Amen. Because he was the perfect example tree that David saw. A man is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in due season. Amen. And in his age, he can come in Moses' message. He can come in Jeremiah's message. He had to bring forth his fruit in his season. Amen. And he preached a different age to them. Is that right? When Jesus came, he said, except a corner, he'd fall on the ground and die. He wasn't talking about a stalk. He wasn't talking about a tassel. He was talking about a corner because he knew he was the image. He knew the entirety of the life had come back. He knew the fullness of the God and body dwelling in him. That is why he could preach, and my Father was. When you see me, you see the Father. Because he could preach that message because he knew he was that super sign. God and man was united in him. That is why he preached, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Because he knew his life was to reveal to them to where to come back and how to come back. Amen. Glory. He knew that. And that first age, we took it Sunday, how 2 Corinthians 11, they were being deceived like Eve. And I trust you've been catching it. How the church was being deceived like Eve because Paul could look at the church and catch that this was Eve. This was another Eve. You know, how many know Ephesians 3? He said the church was a hidden mystery in God that was now being revealed. Wasn't revealed before to the prophets and them. But was now being revealed to him. And a dispensation of the grace of God was given to him to the Gentiles. And he was making that mystery known. And then Ephesians 5, he goes in and types Christ in the church as a husband and a wife. And he goes back to Genesis, how we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, like Adam and Eve. Is that right? Yeah. So Paul knew the church came out to Jesus. He had that revelation because he called Jesus the last Adam. Then he looked at the church and said, just like Eve was beguiled, so you are being beguiled. Is that right? Sure. He saw what was happening to the second bride. He saw it. And he warned her that take care what happened to the first one. She come right into the same situation. Because he had seen that tree of death. He saw Satan transforming himself as an angel of light. Did he see it? He quoted there in 2 Corinthians 11. Because he saw that what Satan did in the serpent. And he perverted, he preached another gospel. He said, which is of another, but he perverted it.
Glory.
And we find out that God was speaking the very same thing in his word. Because in Revelation 2, when God gives the picture of the first age, in Revelation 2, which we just read, he gives them the promise of to eat from the tree of life. Because death had come in, the church was seduced like Eve. She had come out to Adam, bone from the flesh, then she was seduced the same way. And then two vines is coming forth out of the church, just like it came out of Eve's womb. Is that right? That's what John is speaking of here. He says, they went out from us because they're not of us. He's talking about people. He's saying, they are not of God. That is spirit of error. In other words, he was clearly identifying two vines. He said, that other vine, they don't have the true word. He said, then talk about those antichrist spirits, false prophets, many of them. He said, they're gone out there. Is that right? And they seduce the people. Exactly. Paul said beguiled, John said seduce. What was happening? Men was having intercourse with the church, planting their own seed. Planting their own ideas. Planting their own thoughts. And not the original word. Men was joining the ranks, not being born again. Men was invading the pulpit without a calling. Men was misplacing and misinterpreting the word. Men was rising up the air and but destroying the real uniqueness of the work of Jesus Christ and trying to take people back into holy days and different things. And Paul watched them things. I was just, you see a man rise and begin to preach, but he might be preaching some classical things. But inside, he's not preaching about the lamb that slain them and the blood. If he's not preaching about a new birth inside of the air, let me tell you, you get a religion without blood. You get a religion without a lamb. You know what I'm saying? A man trying to bring into a relationship with God without that might be philosophy. See? Not the positive thinking. You have to know what the plan of salvation is. You have to know what the seed is. Sometimes it hurts, sometimes it burns. To be told, you're not right, and you have to die. And you have to repent. And you have to separate from some of those things. It hurts sometimes, but that is what brings life. The seed of those things today is all this intellectual religion we have today that have turned down the word. That is going into our world council of churches. And that isn't one and two people. That's billions of people. That is the age. Because we see that if that word is tampered with, remember what produces that life is that seed. And if that seed is tampered with and is no longer original, it's impossible for a seed that is not original to produce original life. As sincere as the person may be, it has nothing to do with it. Sincerity is what type of seed is there. And that's why God had to reveal all the mysteries. That's why the entire word had to come back. To bring back one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's why all them loose ends had to be straightened out correctly. Why? Because we come into the age where there must be a church without spot and without wrinkle. It cannot be another denomination. It must be a people that are word-born, spirit-filled. Amen. Glory. But look, those people back there, in that age, they had discernment. Young men, little sisters there, little children, he says. The mind was illuminated. They had come into an experience. Them women in the upper room was drunk with the Holy Spirit. They didn't come to a nice hairdo and a nice new thing and a nice new gloves. Give them a chance and kind of walls in the church. You know, no, sir. But they come in there baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. They knew the place of a woman. They knew the conduct of a woman. They knew why God designed a woman the way he designed her. They knew a woman, the potential mommy to raise a family for God. To raise up children, to guide the house. Amen. Glory. In that early church, the word that was coming forth through the mouth of fishermen, coming forth out of the mouth of tax collectors, coming forth out of the mouth of ordinary farmers, and different things. That word, because where it originated from, was transforming people. It was cutting out the people in that age. It was washing them clean. It was bringing them to and placing them in heavenly places. Amen. But they walked there and they manifested a book of Acts. There was written epistles out of all men. They came into a reality. Glory. They had something. When the persecution come, they could have died. They could have lived their life. The message meant something more to them than just maybe a church or a nice building. The message meant to them it was life. Real life. But you see, this age is different. You don't just go and die and give yourself easy like that in this age. No. It's a different kind of age. It's an age where the devil can make you feel like a Christian, not a Christian. The devil can make you admire your moral life, and you have no faith. Amen! A different type of age. And that's where you just don't want to go along with external something. You want something internal. Amen. You want something done on the inside. Those people, when John began to speak to them, they knew who Jesus was. Jesus wasn't a man to them. They understood. And let me tell you, in that age, they had to break the song barrier of all them voices who were saying he was just a prophet. He was just an ordinary man. He had died. You know, I was reading in the book of Acts today, somewhere, I think it's about 26, 27 there, where Paul came before Agrippa. And Festus is telling Agrippa, he says, we have this one here. He said, I taught these Jews and all them, you know, they bring these charges, some song charges, that if this man had to die, then we could get rid of the man. But they want me to kill the man. They don't bring up any charges that's worthy of death. And then the people that they bring, they couldn't prove what they were saying against the man. So he said, I can't send the man appeal to Caesar. I can't send the man to Caesar without saying why I'm sending him there for. So he's telling Agrippa, he says, well, maybe you could see him tomorrow and I'll be able to get something, because you're a Jew and you know all the different customs. I'll be able to get something foundational to write in a report when I send this man before Caesar. He says, this man is claiming that some Jesus is alive and the Jews saying the man is dead, you know. And then Paul stands to give witness of his experience. But remember, he's a Jew. But he had seen Jesus after his resurrection. He had a supernatural experience. And nobody could tell him Jesus was dead. He had seen the Lord in the Hoffman head in a vision. He had seen him in a pillar of fire. He had seen him as an angel coming. God kept coming to him in different forms because he was the messenger of the age to reveal clearly who Jesus was. Amen. Amen. And while he sat there, they knew that this Jesus was no dead man. Because the people, all the Jews, was claiming that these people believe in a dead man. This movement should have finished. This man dead and buried. Have nothing to this. See? But then they couldn't understand how these men was doing the same works that Jesus did. They didn't just have some theology to explain the thing, you know. They was writing a book of Acts and shaking up the world. People were seeing the supernatural power of God. Today we'll make a big attempt to explain and debate. And then I'm no longer debating people. Any debate was on whether these things, by what authority you do these things. What was being debated wasn't about the doctrine, was the power that was manifested. Because wherever they went, the people saw something. Amen. They knew that one who was revealed amongst them. Act wasn't just another prophet like Moses coming, or another prophet, you know, to call him like back to the world. When Jesus came, he said, I am the true light. In other words, I am what they was talking about that was coming. When he came, he just searched the scriptures. In other words, he knew he had to prove to them he was the promise that was promised in the Garden of Eden. That was the Messiah. And that's why he says, your father eat that man and is dead. But if they eat of me, they will never die. He said, if you don't believe who I am, believe the works that testify who I am. In other words, look at the kind of fruit this tree is bearing. It's going to prove whether this is the original tree that was back there or it's not that tree. Until the people says, if Christ come, could he do more than this? They said, this has to be the Christ. We go, what could you do greater than this? Think of it. So to them, like we sit down today, somebody say, you know, you are building a prophet, son, so that will believe it? No, sir, not me. I believe in more than that. God didn't just send a little prophet back here in his last days. That was God himself coming. Genesis 18 was God himself in a man. To be made manifest. The creator of heaven and earth. That's why he spoke into existence. No man could speak into existence. It's God alone is the creator. Amen. See? Some people see a prophet and that's all they see. That is them. Jesus said, even thus shall it be in that day when the Son of Man is revealed. Not a son of man, the son of man is revealed. See? So then it depends on what you have seen. Like he said, look over to Jesus. When you look, he said, what do you see? When he said the mighty God has been unveiled, what you see, a prophet? And he's saying the mighty God has been unveiled, you see a prophet? You've only seen the external part. It was God veiling a prophet. More than a prophet. Amen. See? But because that's the promise of this day. That's why he says, not a man you're feeding on. He says, the unfailing body word of the Son of Man you're feeding on. And if you're feeding on that, then you can never die. Let me tell you, if you really see them that something is happening to your inner being,
In your inner being, there's a power resident there now that has already brought your flesh in subjection. That tells you it's going to be changed. You ain't frightened your backslide and frightened your sin. Amen. You're overcome them things. Glory. I'm not saying to be excited to work you up. I'm saying it's a reality to those who experience that. And I'm saying that those who have not experienced that, get into it and that becomes real in you and you don't have to live with fear no more. Because what we're talking about is not trying to live a Christian life. What we're talking about is God living inside his people. Because if you didn't see the message right and you only see a prophet, you can never see the bride. You will see the brides and people trying to serve God. The promise is God to be made manifest. God in his people. That's the promise. In that day, you will know I in you and you in me. Is that right? John 14:20. In that day, you will know it's I in you, he says. As I was in the Father and the Father in me, so I in you and you in me. 1 John 4:4, he said, great is he in you than he that is in the world. Glory! They're not afraid of that tree of death. He said, that tree of death is outside there seducing and wooing people, but you're not afraid. He said, because you have seen him who was from the beginning. Amen. Hallelujah! Glory! You have eaten that tree the day of 80. You begin to live. Hallelujah! You don't want that old denominational fruit no more, but a man coming to some enticing words, forget it! Amen! You have tested the real thing. Glory. They knew they had the word. Look how the man is talking. You mean say, with a little inspiration, we can't read the tone and the emphasis and the manner in which the man is saying it? Does he sound unsure? Does he sound like he don't know what he's talking about? He said, we have seen that from the beginning. What have you seen in this day? Something different? He said, that we declare unto you. What do you think I'm declaring here tonight? Anything different than that? It's that same one I'm speaking of. Amen. Glory. You're not talking about nothing different? Right there in the church, just like in Eden, they saw them two trees again. Paul was seeing them. Paul says, he says, they transformed. As an angel of light. Saying, ye had God said, and the right amongst us, he said. He said, to preach another gospel, another Jesus. He said, as Eve was seduced, so are thee being seduced. Sure, look at John. But John now, coming on, he said, you have overcome them. Not everyone, but he said, you only should have overcome them. My, they're going to receive the word. They have been born of the word, and that real faith of the Son of God was springing up inside of them. They wasn't playing church. He was talking to people here who had overcome. Amen. Glory. See, that mixed tree tried to seduce many of them away from the true word. He said, that spirit of Antichrist has gone forth. Trying to preach another gospel, trying to bring in tradition. He said, but you listen, you know what you're looking for? You recognize the true voice when you hear it? You know the true word when you see it? You know the true life is supposed to bring forth? Amen. See? Now that same one coming back in the last days. Don't you realize that there are some people born by that same one has overcome again? Let me tell you. The bride has been put to the test. Just like Jesus. He was put to the test there, and the devil tried to overcome him, and he couldn't overcome him. Exactly. Look at Abel. Didn't Cain could overcome Abel? Couldn't do it. That's why he had to use violence and kill him, destroy him. Amen. Why? Because Abel stood there upon that revelation. He will not move. And buddy, the only way someone was going to go could be by death. Amen. Because they can't change you from that stand upon that word. It's no longer devils in hell. They can't burn it out of you. They can't touch it out of you. Amen. Because it becomes part of you. It's not like you try to convince yourself about something in your mind. You recognize that predestination. You are the expression of an attribute of God. You are part of the world. Nothing can do that. You didn't join something to become the word. You didn't learn the word to become the word. You are the express thought of God in flesh. And the word wakes you up to recognize who you are. The word identifies that you came from God. Amen. And the word is still doing that tonight to many. Some of you may be taking the wrong approach, trying to want to live a Christian life, trying to hope to live a Christian life. No. The word is just a break to all your reason, your imaginations, all your fears, and let you see that you have come from God the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit revealing and covering to you your true self to give you confidence in the God that is inside of you. Amen. Trying to bring you from this external God, this outside God, to let you know God is inside of there in the form of that seed of eternal life. Amen. When you see that, you've overcome them things. Why? Because you come from that tree. Amen. You come from that true vine. You want the branches coming to come from the root. You, as the prophet said, you ain't no lemon or orange tree. See? He's a lot of people, like a lemon or orange tree. Grafted inside of the air. Living off the life of the messenger, bringing forth their own fruit. And the devil wants to make some of you that. Let me tell you, he wants to make some of you young people that. Come in here and you start to hear the word and you kind of play church inside church and you slip outside and you start to manifest your old life. While you hear hallelujah, glory to God, you want to sing in church, you want to do different things, young people meeting, young people convention, you want to kind of go around and all the circumstances and then you're living your rotten life outside. That don't work. You know what's happening? The devil is making you a false anointed. You're trying to drink in the spirit inside of here, get the spirit all anointed with the spirit, but look at the life it's bringing forth. Look at the fruit that's coming forth afterwards. And if you're not really sincere and see that contrary life coming forth, see that old carnal nature manifesting here, yet you're enjoying church, and that don't drive you to the altar to get a real debt to that old nature, let me tell you, you're going to find yourself in real trouble. You'll be a hypocrite and your make-believe will show up. Because remember, a serpent, see that there's a little serpent, God can become a big serpent. You know, you don't be a child of God when you're small and become a serpent when you get big. No. Jezebel was a little Jezebel from small growing up. Atalia was a little Atalia. Salome and Herodias was little Salome and Herodias from small growing up. Amen. A little lime on the orange tree. A little lemon. Crafted in. It come from the root. Let me look. Once it comes from the root, it's going to bring forth the orange. Sure. See all this grafted in, take through there. Come the graft right in. Then you watch what it be. Living by the life, sure as ever. Claiming the name. Doing everything else. But what's the fruit? By the fruits, you will know them.
Amen.
See, you can't bring forth nothing else. You have to bring forth what it is. See? If you didn't come from the root, well, I tell you, you're going to have problems. Okay, let me take a few minutes and try to put some here very close. Now watch. I've been trying to put this before you the last few services, and I preach and don't really put it in, but I want to build on this a little bit. Taking some of the church's book, The Tree of Life. You say, what a beautiful figure of speech. It's mentioned 3 times in the book of Genesis and 3 times in the book of Revelation. In all 6 places, it's the same tree, symbolizes exactly the same thing. What is the tree of life? Then he goes in, Numbers 24:6, how Balaam described Israel as trees. I give you quite an example Sunday morning. How God used kings as trees, prophets as trees, nations as trees, false teachers as trees, used the devil as a tree, identify himself as a tree. All through the Bible, from Genesis, where he started with trees, to Revelation, where he called the two prophets two olive trees. And he quotes Psalm 1 here too. Trees throughout the scripture refer to persons, as in Psalms 1. Thus, the tree of life must be a person of life. That is Jesus. So he's the one being revealed in these last days. He's the one being revealed. But why are we calling the tree of life? Because we are going back to that Eden. We are coming back to that sonship. We come back to that dominion. We come back to that word image. That's why we are relating to him as this tree of life. Because that book, that fruit of that tree that is here in this Eden, came out of heaven and is here in the Eden of Satan. And that voice that is saying, take from that tree and eat, is a tree to be desired to make one live. That very tree is being revealed in this hour to be here when everything is dying in this Eden. Because this is an Eden of death. Everything here dies. This is a place where sin is legalized. It's legal to smoke, legal to drink, legal to have prostitution, is legal, adultery, marriage and divorce courts. Everything against God's word exists here. It's the Eden of death. They talk about peace and they arm themselves with more weapons for war. The scientists, they trying to improve on the species God made. You see now they're talking about trying to blend pieces of chicken with tomatoes to bring forth a certain new type of foods and different things, and all the new foods that could be coming in just now. They say that they're doing it to kind of build up resistance against different diseases and different things. Could you believe that? It's just man with their own knowledge trying to exalt himself. See? They do it in religion, they do it in natural life, they do it in national life, they do it in church life, they do it in family life. Everything is hybrided. Because the author of it is hybrid himself. See? He is a tree of good and evil. He's a mixed tree. And that, I say, anybody from that tree get mixed up just like him. He can mix up the wrong boy with the wrong girl. He can mix up brother you with some false doctrine. He can mix up. But he doesn't know how to mix up things. It takes God to straighten out things. Amen. Yes, sir. So he said, now from the Garden of Eden, there were two trees standing in the midst of it. One was the tree of life, the other the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Man was to live by the tree of life, but he was not to touch the other tree or he would die. But man did partake of the other tree, and when he did, that entered into him by sin and became separated from God. Now, just for some of the younger ones, I just want to inject this. When we talk about the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life, we're not especially speaking about two people alone, which is God and Satan. But we don't want everything in this world that you see and meet come from either one of those two trees. Amen. Remember, the trees is a symbol we're using. Them trees have many branches. All right? And the fruit of those trees is very diverse. And, you know, in this tree of knowledge of good and evil, but it has sports, it has cinema, it has fashion. All of it is fruit off of that tree, you know. All of it is a branch coming out of that tree. Amen. Technology, science, education, everything. In other words, you watch and see, because everything that you could see is come from two spirits. You only have two spirits, God and the devil. Good and evil. So here we are seeing the fruit is diverse. Many, many different fruit we're going to eat. But then watch and see. Satan is the author of this Eden, and God is the author of the original Eden.
Amen.
God don't deal in death. God lives in life. He is life. You want real life, you have to be united with Him. There's no life outside of Him. You see, sometimes when you hear the word and you see yourself wanting, you pray and ask God, say, Lord, give me the nature like to receive your word. Do that song and say, I can't. Well, maybe I done lost already. No. Maybe the reason you can't relate it is because you really need a new birth. You need an experience to turn you on, to change you. Maybe the mind is carnal, is an enmity against God. And you need to get a mind to bring it subject to the word of God. See? So, when the word comes forth and you see a need, just get there and say, Lord, you know, give me what it takes to receive the word. I want life. I don't want death. Now, that tree back there in Eden, that tree which was the source of life, was Jesus. In John chapter 6 through 8, Jesus set himself forth as the source of eternal life. He called himself the bread from heaven. He spoke of giving himself, and if a man ate of him, he would never die. See? Then he goes on speaking how he is the I am, great I am, how he before Abraham, all these things, showing he's eternal. He's the source of life, and he's eternal. So he's the source of eternal life, you see? He showed himself as the great I am. He's the bread of life, the well of life, the eternal one, the tree of life. He was back then eaten in the midst of the garden, even as he will be in the midst of the paradise of God. Some have an idea that the two trees in the garden were just two more trees like the rest of those that God placed there. But careful students know that this is not so. And, you know, we've gone through that in the past 6 weeks very much to show that that is not two natural trees. It's not botany life. It was spiritual trees. Now, since the record cannot change or be taken from or added thereunto, then the record stands that life is in the Son. Since this is the tree in the garden, has to be Jesus. All right, if the tree of life is a person, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is a person also. Thus the righteous one, the wicked one, stood side by side in the midst of the garden of God. Ezekiel 28:13 says, thou, Satan, has been in the garden of God. Amen? Okay. Now, so he said, we start with the fact, jump to page 102 here. We start with the fact that there were two trees in the midst of the garden, the tree of life, which was Jesus, and the other tree is definitely Satan because of what came forth from the fruit of that tree. A lie. Jesus said he's the father of lies. He's the originator. He did not make up a lie. He's the father of it. Like how he said, the tubal cane is the father of the pipe, and who's the father of the organ, the inventor of it. He's the father of lies. Now, he says here, now then we know that both of those trees had a relationship to man, or they would have never been placed there. Now we're getting deep now. In other words, we're going back to the thoughts of God now. All right? Remember, the garden was man's home. And remember, those trees was in the garden. Why was they there now? What's the purpose of them being there? Did it just happen by accident? Did God want it there? He says, they would not have been there if it didn't have a relationship to man. It had a definite relationship to man. But remember, that was after man was created and put in the garden, and God, those trees was growing up out of the earth, then those other two trees was right there. So now he's taking us into the thoughts of God now. The other tree, he said, they must have had a part in the sovereign plan and purpose of God in their relationship to mankind and to himself, or we could never impute omniscience to God. If that tree was there and didn't have no part of God's plan and purpose of mankind, Then he said, how could we impute omniscience to God? How could we say God knows all things then? Because the fall came by that tree. So then, you mean to say God get surprised that the fall took place? See? So then it was there for a purpose.
Amen.
Now, I preach a little message for you that I take it and live forever. But I want to break something in that to you to show you how great it is for the believer to have the word come back in the last days. Because all the world come back in the last days, there's no eating, there's no redemption, there's nothing. There's no restoration. If this world didn't come, we'd be a sinner. A religious sinner, we might have been some denomination, believing some creed and some dogma, holding on to some man-made religion that is not the Bible, thinking we're going to go to heaven when they're preaching to us a lie. Because God never starts no denomination. Is that right? A denomination, the church, a woman, is the thing that caused the fall to begin with. The man is what brought redemption. So we'll be still dealing in the thing that brought death. That is what Adam and Eve made, a fig leaf to cover the sin. Denomination is what man made, the religion to cover the sin. You understand? Thank God for the word coming back.
Amen.
Amen. Now we talk about heaven, at least we have a hope. Now we have an opportunity to pass from death unto life, to receive a new birth, to come back to the word again. Now we have a light to show us where we're going. Now we have the thing that God reveals himself by. Christ is revealing his own word. He unveils himself in his own word to show us who he is. We can't know him outside the word. That's why this one had experience, that one had experience, this one had experience. And everybody experienced contrary one to the other. This one saw a vision. Ellen G. White saw a vision. Russell saw a vision. Is that right? The Pentecostals had a sensation. And where it leads us to? The World Council of Churches. Back to the devil again. Because it was all contrary to the word. They built on something that was not the word. And become the gate to hell. You should be glad you're no Presbyterian again. You should be glad you're no Methodist and no Baptist. You should be glad that God called the world to open your eyes to see this truth.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. See a name in the Lamb's book of life to know he chose you. I think that many times we fail to see out of the word what he's done for us, and we try to learn all the other external sightings. Let me tell you, when you see what the word coming to you have done for you and where it's taking you, amen, that is where everything begins to make sense to you. That is where I can worship God. Then you have a purpose for living, amen. All right, now, quickly, time is up. Just finish our quote here. So it had a relationship to man. God, it was part of the plan of God for them trees to be there. That's why those two trees come right through. That's why they're still here.
Amen.
As I show you, Revelation 16:13, here's the tree of death between the 6th and 7th vial. And something's come out of his mouth. And where he's taking them right back to the seat of Satan at Nicaea, Rome. Revelation 10, and against some trumpet. Hear the tree of life. Is that right? Both prophets stand in the air. Both bringing forth the fruit. One is tree of the spirit, bringing out Trinity doctrine. Is that right? The other bringing out 7 thunders. Amen. One taking it back to Eden. One taking it back to Rome. Where he's seated, this Satan eating is? Glory! Mouth! Something come out of the mouth!
See? Both trees is there.
Revelation 9:1, Revelation 7:2, both trees is right there. Revelation 7:2, is that angel of the Son of God? That's the tree of life? That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Is that right? Yeah. Revelation 9, that fallen star, that's that deceiver who tell the tale? Is that right? He told the tale and deceived one third part of the stars, hooked them down by his tail, and the Lord cast down a fallen star. Side by side, you watch them. Why? Because they have a relationship to man. And they're there for a purpose. Oh my. Hallelujah. I'm so happy. In this day, you could see the true prophet. You know, I just finished selling false anointed ones in the end time. And thinking, you know how, in the last of Matthew 24, and then Revelation 16, 13, the chief false prophet, singular, and then all them false prophets, plural. False Christ. See, anointed ones. Rising up there, but watch what they say. Watch the fruit of what they're teaching. That we're going to bring death in the last days. That's what deceives and kills. See? But then on the other side, he says, look, St. Luke 17, 13. The true word coming back. Out of our mouth also. A teaching. Like in Zedekiah back there, what was going to his mouth? What was going to Micaiah's mouth? Both of them were side by side. The branches intertwine. Is that right?
It's always together. Always together.
So they must have had a part in the sovereign plan and purpose of God in their relationship to mankind. And to himself, or we could not impute omniscience to God. This is all true. So far, is it not? Now, the word most definitely set forth that before the foundation of the earth, I'm going to close with this thought here, the purpose of God was to share eternal life with man. But that life could not and would not be shared in any other way through the way of God manifest in the flesh. Amen? Now I'm going to give you that to think on, and you just, when you go, you can read it too. Because you're going to pick that up there and expand that. And you're going to see how in this day that word had to become flesh again. How in the Old Testament, when Eve was given the promise, it had to come through three women before the tree of life would come among the people. When it was given the church, when the second Eve fell, that had come through three stages of the church before the tree of life would come back again among the people to identify that this is that tree. This evening message had to reveal that this is the word which was from the beginning. This evening message had to reveal that this is that same one from the beginning who created the heavens and the earth. That was it. I am Jehovah. I created the heavens and the earth. I was the one that stormed that day. I'm the one that used. I said, never since Genesis any man ever spoke into existence. Not even his own ministry when he was here on the earth. Why? He had to reveal that he is that Jehovah. In this day when he's making another man in his own image and likeness. Amen. When he's giving back man dominion again. Eternal life, fellowship with God, and power over the earth. That word had to become flesh. Now watch back there. He told him, he says, lest man put forth his hand and take and eat. He said, put them cherubim there with that flaming sword. Don't let man take from that tree. See? Let man be put out of the garden. One day, he's going to come back. But he's only going to come back when this tree becomes flesh.
Amen.
If you have a little insight, you can see that before man was even created, the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world in the mind of God. You understand that? In other words, why was a lamb slain when there's not a sinner? They had to have a sinner for that lamb to atone for. Let me give you a little more further light on that. Why was not the woman made in the original creation? If she was made like Adam, she couldn't fall. So they had to have a fall. So God made her a byproduct and didn't bring in the original creation. How was the fall going to come except that tree was put there so that they could have a fall? Amen? And then when a human being falls, then God's law of redemption must be a kinsman to bring redemption. So then that very tree himself had to come and be planted in the human race. So God gave the promise of a seed. The seed was the tree of life himself. Who was first, the last Adam or the first Adam? The last Adam made the first Adam. See? So watch and see. We're going to pick it up. That life, God always wanted man to have that eternal life, but that life could not and would not be shared in any other way than through the way of God made manifest in flesh. This was a part of his eternal and predestined purpose. This plan was to be the praise of his glory of his grace. It was the plan of redemption. It was the plan of salvation. Amen? So you say, now listen closely. God being a savior, it was necessary that he predestined a man who would require salvation in order to give himself reason and purpose of being. If God was a savior and didn't have no man to save, how could he express himself as savior? If man never needed salvation, how could he know God in their true relationship according to God's nature and attributes? Which was first, the savior or the sinner? Savior had to be first. Amen. So we're going to pick it up on Sunday, Lord willing. But I want you to see that tree of life was that seed that was going to come. See, it was still spirit back there. Hadn't become flesh yet. But God was moving towards becoming flesh. And that's why in this day it was necessary for the Word to become flesh again. And when the Word became flesh again, then we beheld His glory. In the beginning of the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. You can't behold the glory of the Word as made flesh. See? Then you see Him. Then because God is a man. That's why when God was creating, he had a great evolution. From marine life and botany life and bird life and animal life. And he keep bringing each species higher, higher, higher. And the last thing God made was man, because man reflected the one who was doing the creating. God never made nothing higher than man, because man is in God's image and God likeness. Man reflected the creator himself. And when God became man, he walked among us. Great is the mystery of God. Is God is manifest in the flesh. Is that right? His name shall be called Emmanuel, the super sign. God and man was united in Christ. Amen. And then he said, when you see me, you see the Father. Amen. Then now the Father could be revealed. Amen to us. See? And when that was lost, friend, when that was lost, then that had to come back. And you watch, it's a beautiful thing. And then you're going to see the value of this promised word. This is not just an next church to walk into, no, and walk out of, no. It's the opportunity of coming back to truly be in union with God, to live in harmony and in the presence of God, and to feed upon
He himself. The Word himself. Blessed be his wonderful name. You appreciate him? Amen. He is everything to me. I tell you, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, the original life. Hallelujah. Let us raise our hands and praise him tonight. Father, we give you glory. We give you honor, oh God, to be in your presence. How wonderful it is to be gathered with your children in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and feel the sweetness of the Holy Spirit amongst us, Lord, spurring us on that we can keep pressing into the promise of God with all determination, Father, to become that word again. Oh God, I pray tonight that you bless your children, Lord. You anoint them and inspire them with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. May you enlighten them. May you open their understanding. Dear God, may the Holy Spirit teach them, Lord, that they can see this great, glorious promise, that they can overcome all these denominational spirits, all these false prophets in the last days, and can come back to the true word, the living word again. Oh, wonderful Savior, may you bless your people tonight. May you pour out your spirit amongst them, dear God. May you bring a revival within the soul. May you give them a charge of faith. Oh, God, bless them and strengthen them in this hour. Father, we love you. We praise you tonight. We give you glory and honor, Father. How great and marvelous is thy truth. We thank you, Lord, for these divinely revealed mystery truths contained in the seven seals. Oh, God, literally transforming us, turning our hearts back to the faith of the fathers. We love you and praise you, and we thank you for it. Blessed be your wonderful name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Amen. The original life. The life. The original seed, the original word, is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seven seal is unveiled. The original life, the original seed. Amen. Sing it again. The original life. Amen. The original seed. The original word is what I believe. Amen. The Son of Man is revealed. The seventh seal. Amen. God's attributes is manifested. Was manifested to his bride in the body. We have bought the revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are, oh, and what we are with of. Original life. Amen. Singing the original life. From that original fruit, from that original tree. Amen. The original word. What I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. Man is revealed. The seven seals is on. Amen. We are the Word made flesh today. You have overcome them. Amen. This is what the scriptures say. And our names.
Redeemed and perfect without sin. We are. Amen. Receive it tonight. Is what I believe. Amen. Not the right fruit. The Son of Man. Not the tree of life. See, our eyes of understanding have opened at last. The gate of that tree, your eyes were open. You know good and evil now.
Victory is ours. We were chained long in the past. True Jubilee has sounded, and we have responded.
No hybrid life, the original life. Amen. What I believe. Not the tree we ate on.
Man is revealed. Seven seals on me. The original life. The original seed.
We have fallen to adoption. That's where we go back. Going back to Eden. Full sons, grown sons, play sons, sleep in chains.
Well, we can join us for translation in this hour. Gentile soon be over. Glory, hallelujah, to our God, the original life.
Let's stand and sing it. Come on. Clap them hands.
The original seed. The original word. What I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. The seven seed is on me. The original life.
Hallelujah.
The original life.
Hallelujah. Oh God, we thank you, Christ. Amen.
The original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. The seven seals is on.
Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be the rock of our salvation. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, hallelujah. Oh, my. Have you overcome them, little children? Have you truly overcome? Do you have that victory which overcometh this world, that faith living inside of you, that divine revelation that the gates of hell cannot prevail against? Is that real in your heart? That you know you have truly seen Him who was from the beginning? That eternal life, that tree of life. That is why these other trees, as attractive that as they might look, they have no influence over you. You were so glad that day when God came down and found you dressed in this world fashions, covered up with all these man-made things from this Eden, and ripped it off of you. When God showed that slain lamb, that His blood was shed for you, And through that slain lamb, you found the robe of righteousness. And that you can come back to that tree. Do you have that unction? He said, we have received an unction. An unction that was loose upon him in that first age, a lion spirit, one of them cherubim, that was pushing them back to that tree, that was giving them grace to stand and overcome. That they did overcome in that age. And they did eat of that tree of life. But how much more beautiful it is for us in this last age. We get the tree of life. We will not be hurt of the second death. We get the hidden manna. We have received the morning star. Shalom, he says. The bright and morning star has appeared. Between this dying world of corruption and a bright new shining day, we are going back to Eden, he says. We have seen our name in the Lamb's book of life when he broke them seals. He said, your name was under one of those seals. He said, look, that name will be revealed in those seven thunders. And it's written in your forehead. And you who are gathered through the opening of those seals will sit with him in his throne. Because after he leaves the Father's throne, before he takes his own throne, he's gathering his redeemed subjects who will reign with him. Is that right? Can't you see how much great it is for us? They didn't live long enough to move into the next one. But we at the end of the age, when the book is open, when everything is uncovered, we have come back to it, friend. Isn't that make-believe? It's an assurance. It's an assurance. You know what that does to me? When God opened them seven trumpets at time, and I said, Lord, I used to think that maybe heaven was some, you know, thing far out there. I don't know how it's going to be. And you realize it's geography. God is going to bust up this place with volcanics and bring it back out as normal. And we're not going to live in heaven. We're going to come back right here on the earth and live. And they who was in heaven rejoice and say, we shall reign as kings and priests on the earth. They who was in the sixth dimension say, we don't eat here, but when we go back to earth and get our bodies, we will eat again. They was looking forward to coming back here. And they're talking about save the environment. And God talking about busting it up with a baptism of fire. Amen! Hallelujah! Renovation, volcanic eruptions. Think about it. And I saw that, I said, oh God, look, in this age we're living in, we actually going to step like Noah, come out of the sand civilization, go up above the judgments, and come back into the earth in its pre-industrial state. And though Ham was in the ark, he's not going to trouble nobody out here. He's going to reign for 1,000 years, and then he will loose that serpent again. He will get right among the nations, but then God is going to destroy them. It's so real. And then that tree of life that seems so fictitious way back there is this word. Is he himself? Is this one that we're feeding on? Is this one that we have access to again? The seal is removed. Isn't that a mystery? That tree was like a mystery, but it had become flesh and come down amongst us. And say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And no man will come back to the Father except by me. And through him, the way was made that we could come right back to our sonship. That's what it is, friend. You're coming back to your sonship. You come back to your place in Christ. That was predestined to you. It's going to take the tree of life to bring you back there. It's going to take eating of that fruit to come back there. And that's exactly what's happening to you. The word that you're feeding on, taking your fears out, taking your doubts out, giving you an anchor, showing you it's impossible for you to be lost, giving you a perfect conscience, bringing you to a perfect faith, taking you to a perfect body, taking you to a perfect Eden. Because God made it possible. It's not no fairy tales. It's for his elect. And it's been revealed in this hour. It can't be found in a denomination. That's the tree of death. It didn't found in the word of God.
or we could receive it tonight. We could say, Lord, let me eat that fruit. Whatever the vitamins it has, whatever the nourishment, whatever the life-giving power that is resident in that fruit, when I eat it, Lord, that could give me that life that I can live forever. I could rebuke sickness in my own body. Amen. I could rebuke the devil out of my own mind. Hallelujah. I could stay in fellowship and commune with my God. Amen. Right being in His presence, being strengthened by His word. That's why he say, you have the victory. You have overcome that world. What you overcome? The lust of the flesh. You have no appetite for those things. You know it's death. The lust of the eyes. Oh, it's all pretty and glamour in this modern age. Science beautified and have it and so attractive out there. But you know, it's all debt. It's all a perversion of the original. You look back in the Bible and see where it came from. Amen. The pride of life. Where you want to be? A prime minister? You want to be the head of some society here? You want to be some great politician? Some great achiever in this world or something? The greatest thing you can be tonight is to be a Christian. You know why? When all them kings and kingdoms will pass away, a Christian will still be there. When this civilization will become atomic ashes, a Christian will still be there. You say, how come? Like Moses was. When Egypt is atomic ashes, Moses will still be following that leader of eternal life. He met that tree one day, and he left eating off from the science of Egypt, and they eat from that tree. And what is more than all them Egyptians can teach him, he fung in that tree. And when he finished eating from that tree, he could speak into existence. He could throw a rod and see it turn to a serpent. He could call for flies and see it come when he ate from that tree. Abraham, look at them Sodomites eating from all the sin and pleasure when the Gentile world was in its height. And Abraham fung that tree one day. Got bread and wine off of that tree. Is that right? He sat and ate from that tree, and he came back a young man. And he saw that world become fire, become ashes. Fire fell from heaven and burned it up, and he was still there. He had seen God create and put things there. Why? He had eaten from that tree of faith. They could live by faith. Look at Noah. In that age, Noah refused to eat off one of the scientific trees. And he went into the ark, because the tree of life was revealed to him, and he ate from that tree. And he knew he's going to pass the judgment. He's going to pass death. He's going to pass this civilization and come back into another civilization. And that was a shadow of a shadow, because it wasn't the time for the full promise to be made manifest. But now is the hour. Like Moses, like Abraham, like Noah, all of them, we too are eating this time. But you know something? We're going to come to something that they never even come into. Something so far greater than that. Don't let it bypass you tonight. Don't let the terminology strangle your mind that you can't seem to grasp what we're talking about. Because no matter what you read in this Bible, it's going to reveal Jesus Christ. If you read any scripture and don't see Jesus in it, go back and read it over. Because it reveals Him from Genesis to Revelation. He is the principal theme of the entire Bible. We've been talking about this tree, but who are we talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. Is He being revealed? He's the one who, when the Holy Ghost has come, He will take of mine and speak of me and shall show it unto you. He's not talking about a man, He's telling about Himself. He's not pointing us a man, He's pointing us Himself. We might eat of Him tonight and live forever. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Tonight, Brother Ross, come and pray. Ask God bless you this minister tonight. And you want to remember in prayer. You just reach out by faith. Say, Lord, and hold your need in your heart. And as we pray together with Him, may the all-sufficient God give you the desire of your heart.
Blessed be your precious holy name. Our Lord and our God, we adore Thee, Lord Jesus. Lord God, our hearts beat only for thee, Father. For we have seen your glory, Lord Jesus. It was so glorious to us, Lord God, that it left us this desire, Lord Jesus, just to be like thee, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
And oh Lord, oh God, you responded, Lord Jesus, to let us know that what we are desiring is made available to us. It's the reason and the purpose of your death, Father. This word that has been delivered unto us, Lord God, over the years, Lord Jesus, ever since we saw the light and gave our hearts unto you, Lord Jesus, oh God, it's transforming us, Lord, and shaping us and molding us, Lord God, and we don't want to stop short of the promise, Father.
True, Lord.
But every time we hear the word, Lord God, Lord, we want to say like Mary, beat unto us, Lord Jesus. Let us, Lord, be determined, Lord God. Lord, it put us in such a spot, Father. It creates such a desire on the inside, Lord. It make us see ourselves so wretched, Lord Jesus. And yet, Lord God, raise in us a hope, Lord, to know, Lord God, that it is not beyond us, Lord God, that we shall be like you, Lord God. That when you appear, Father, the oneness that you are bringing us into, Lord, will reach its fullness, Father, that you could take us to go with you, Lord Jesus. Oh God, and to think, Lord God, that you also are going to prepare this earth for us, Father, that we could come back, as the word said tonight, to live on it, Lord Jesus, in peace and in harmony. Lord God, I pray, Father, that, Lord, the word spoken could so strike our hearts more and deeper, Lord, that from every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, Lord, that heard the word tonight, Father, Lord, that you could mean something more to them, Lord Jesus. I could bring a greater desperation inside, Lord. I could bring a weakness, Lord Jesus, that we could submit ourselves, or you become strong in us, Father.
Granted,
oh, God, may you grant it, Lord. Lord, especially our young ones, Lord, whom, Lord God, we want to see this revelation, share this joy with us, Father, that this church could be strong in every department, Lord Jesus. Lord God, that the elders too could be so planted, Lord God, that, Lord, the word could become a living reality from the pulpit straight down to the last pew, Lord, and that our lives could spill over, Lord, to become truly the light of this world, Father. Oh God, we believe that is why you come down night after night, day after day. Lord God, why you try to encourage us, Lord, and invite us, Lord, to partake of thee, Father. Oh, precious Lord, we thank you for the bread tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for the word, Father. We thank you for the substance, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord God. Lord God, we want to go worship and adore you, Lord, and taking these things, Lord, and continuing to fellowship around it and eat it, Lord Jesus, to see it become spirit and life inside of us, Lord God. Let us not rest, Lord Jesus, until the work is perfectly done, Father. Lord God, and we have this assurance, Lord, that you will not leave us until it is perfectly done, Lord God. We sit in the shadows and in the types, Lord Jesus, as we leave this place, Father. Oh God, with joy in our hearts, Lord, with determination, I pray, with, Lord God, the fires of the Holy Ghost burning within us, Lord Jesus, that we, Lord God, knowing that we are called unto a specific purpose, Lord, yes. Lord God, knowing that we fit in a certain slot, each and every one have their part to play, Lord, even as you told us, we all have an inheritance, Lord, we all have our boundaries, Father, we all have our place in the kingdom of God. Father, may the Holy Spirit enrich it to our hearts more and more, Lord, that we could find our position and find our and believe you with all our hearts and soul, Lord, that we could finish the work, Lord Jesus. I pray you strengthen this church, Lord. I pray you lift it up, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that we and remember each other in prayer always. That, Lord, the love of God in our hearts, shed brought by the Holy Ghost, could bind us so more closer to each other, Father. That, Lord Jesus, we'll have genuine love amongst us, which we believe, Lord, will encourage the Holy Spirit to even come more in a richer measure, Father, to meet all our physical and even our spiritual needs. Let it be that way amongst us, Lord. Our prayer, we look for it, Lord Jesus. Lord, we have heard the word, but now we look for it, Lord God. And Lord God, we know it's going to come forth from ourselves first, Lord Jesus, within our own beings, in our own hearts, Lord God. May it be, Lord God, as we look on the inside, Father, and we see this word change and transforming, that we, all we could do is lift our hands and worship you as you do the work inside of us, Father. Oh God, may we go, Lord Jesus, with joy, Father. And may you bring us back next Friday, Lord willing, where we could come, Lord, humbly and get on our knees, Lord Jesus. We know that prayer is the lifeline, Father. Oh God, when we could pour our hearts out before you. Lord, and we want to see you. We see you talk to us in services like these, Lord. But Lord, we want to see more and more of the Holy Spirit coming richer and more of a reality to us, Lord. Lord, as we fellowship with you in prayer, Father. Oh God, may your Holy Ghost move in such a way, Lord Jesus, in such a deliverance way, Father, that Lord God, every man and every woman, every boy and every girl can experience the liberty that is in Christ Jesus and the freedom, Lord God, and the power of the word, Lord Jesus, that could give us victorious lives, Father, and meet every need that we may, that we require, Lord God, to have need of, Father. Oh God, our hearts to see this church marching on, Father. Lord God, when we leave, we don't want to leave just to say we hear a good message. Far be it, Lord Jesus. Meet us in our secret closets. Meet us in our family worship. Meet us in the times that we'll spend and try to edify each other, Lord. Be present at our table, Lord Jesus. Oh God, and moreover, Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost and power, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, all my heart and all my soul. Lord God, look over us and watch over us. We commit every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every family into your hand, Lord Jesus, that you keep us and bring us back safely, Father. And when we walk back through those doors, our heart will be continually beating for you and coming to one desire, one motive, one objective, is to see the kingdom of God glorified. And to create such an atmosphere that you could come down and minister unto us, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord God, as we ask these mercies and blessings, and as we ask the angel of the Lord, go with each and every one to take them safely along the way, Father. Provide transportation for those that require it, Lord Jesus. Look over us, Lord God, as we travel on the highways and byways. Watch over us as we lay down to sleep, Lord. Touch us as we raise up in the morning time, Lord. Put a song in our heart, put a joy in our soul, Lord Jesus, as we go forth to live for you for another day, Father. Yes. And bring us back safely into your presence. And watch over your servant, I pray, Lord God, as he tarries and waits on you, Lord Jesus, as he looks for you to speak to his heart, Lord, to know what to bring to your people to strengthen and edify them. May Holy Spirit put a shield around him, Lord Jesus. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, Father, may the faith in his heart rise up, Lord God, to resist, Lord God, and overcome, Lord, that even he could be, Lord Jesus, an example unto us in all word and all deed, Father. So let us see, Lord Jesus, that this gospel is truly really life, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, grant it, I pray. Watch over every brother and every sister. Watch over everyone. I ask it, Lord God, one more time. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I ask it all for your honor and for your glory. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You have a seat. We're ready to go. Where could I go but to the Lord? Amen. Let's sing as we go. Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Hardly a comfort, be a comfort can afford. Striving below to face temptation, where could I go but to the
bless you. We're dismissed. See you on Friday, Lord willing.
Leading a prayer to heaven, where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind. Neighbors are kind. I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. We get along in sweet accord. When my soul needs mana from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Yet when I face the chilling out of death, oh, where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking I keys that was found, amen. You could collect it at the back by Brother Jeffers, whosoever keys it is, amen. Let's keep singing. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. My soul.